morning.
All seniors that are graduating in 2023, please meet with Deacon Flowers or Deacon Williams after morning service. The bus is available for pickup. Deacon Williams would like for you to notify him on Saturday afternoon to schedule a pickup time. His number is 863-838-0639. Men and women in white, Sunday, April 16th, 2023 at 3 o'clock p.m. The theme is Servants of God Working Unity. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalm 133 and 1. The speaker is Missionary Andrea Wright from Kingdom Dimensions, FBC Lake Wells. Pastor Rufus Nelson. Lessons, Carolyn Mason and the Miracle Temple family at 2051 Bacon Street in Bartow. This concludes my announcement.
Good morning, Good Hope.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The psalmist said, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nation, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised."
Amen.
God, our Heavenly Father, we come here today to do just that, to praise you, to lift up the name of Jesus. We come here because you are our God and we are your people. We love you, we love you, we love you. Lord, may your Holy Spirit feel welcome in this place and in our hearts and lives today as we seek to glorify you with our worship. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
that's all you can say. It's just lift up those voices and say hallelujah. Our scripture for today, coming out of the book of Matthew, Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, 16 through 20. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory.
Yes, sir.
Matthew 28, 16 through 20. When you get it, say, I got it. If you still turn the page, just say, wait on me. Oh, I like that. Hey, we can wait. We can wait. Some of y'all got this memorized in your head. You just, that's all good. Matthew 28, 16 through 20, we will read responsibly. Still here a few pages. I'm going to wait. God is good. We're talking about the Great Commission, y'all.
Yes, sir.
We removed from Holy Week. He has risen, and he's getting ready to give the Great Commission.
Yes, sir.
28, 16 through 20, responsibly. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain, which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him,
they worshiped him, and some doubted.
Keep it straight, y'all. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.
Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Can y'all say that one more time? I just love that. Go ahead and repeat that one more time, y'all.
Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
That leaves no doubt, y'all. In 20 together,
teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
I'm Doc Solomon.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him.
Take your seats, fist bump your neighbor and just welcome them. Just fist bump your neighbor. Come on. Stop. I didn't say hit him, kill him. Up this morning. Father, if you don't do another thing for us, you have already done enough. For we know, Father, right now there's some that did not get up this morning. Alarm clock still going off. So we say thank you. Thank you for life. Thank you for health. Thank you for strength. Thank you, Lord, that we're in our right mind with the use of all our extremity. So we want to begin by saying thank you. You didn't have to do it, but you did. What's nothing we did so good last night or all last week? Simply your grace and your mercy. Your grace and your mercy. So we say thank you, Lord. Lord, we begin by lifting up little Stephen. Father, you know little Stephen's struggle. This young child has been battling cancer for a long time. We know what the doctors have said. We know what is going on. But Father, we trust you because you are a God, Father, who can take the impossible and make it possible. So right now, in the name of Jesus, as a collective body, because in your word, you said, well, two or three are gathered, where this is a whole church gathered together, Father. But we won't be selfish by saying, Father, without saying, not our will, but your will be done. So we pray for your healing right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. We pray for the family, the mother, father, Lord, the grandparents who's watched this young child, Father, go through this struggle. We've seen the incremental miracles, Father. Father, when there is no hope, you are our hope. So we pray this morning, lifting up little Stephen to you, Father. To be thy will, Father, we say, heal, Lord, heal, in the name of Jesus. We pray for this young child. We pray for his mother. Father, Lord, that you would just give them the comfort and strength. Cannot even imagine year after year after year, struggle after struggle after struggle, disappointments, highs and lows. But Father, your word tells us, Father, you're there with us when we're in our valleys, and you're there when we're on the mountaintop. So we say hallelujah to your name. Father, as long as we have breath and he has breath, Father, there is hope. So we pray right now in the name of Jesus, using him as a point of contact for all those who are battling cancer right now. Whether they're in stage 1, 2, 3, or 4, we've seen your miracles. We've heard it right here in the congregation. Stage 4, doctors told her it was all over. She came back and they could not find her. So we know what you can do, Lord. If it be thy will, we pray for your healing right now. Touch this child. Touch this child. Touch this child. In the name of Jesus. Father, we know the hurt and we know the pain. So we just pray right now for this family. Lord, we lift up Mother Hester to you this morning. We've seen the miracles coming out of a coma. Things didn't look good. But now, Lord, she's out of the hospital. They found a place. Well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for Deacon Browning, Junior, sitting right here on the front row, holding devotion. Many weeks ago, Lord, he was laying sick in the hospital bed, medevaced out, Lord, heart condition. Well, look at you. So we know what you can do, Lord. So we just plead the blood of Jesus. Lord, we look up Mother Granger to you. Knee replacement. And just look at what you're doing there. Continue your healing upon her. Lord, I come before you with this special request from Sister Arterial Boy's son, Carrie. The doctors have uncovered and discovered some heart thing going on, Father. But we know right now in the name of Jesus, Father, you can fix it, fix it, fix it. We claim the victory right now. Father, we rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus. We tell Satan to get thee behind me. We refuse to turn over our children to you. We refuse to turn over our families to you. So we lift this day up to you, Lord. Lord, we pray for the man of God who's going to bring the word of God to the people of God. Your anointing is already on him, Father. Continue to embolden him to teach, to preach, and to speak your word just the way you've given it him. In the name of Jesus. Father, I'd be remiss if I did not pray for those who are in this congregation right now, dealing with some unspoken things or some things that are going on in their family that they're too embarrassed to speak out. So we just ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, remind them, even in the scripture said, Lord, you will not leave them, you will not forsake them. Take everything to them, to you, Lord, in prayer. We believe in healing, Lord. We believe there's power in prayer. We believe in your word in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Lord. Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. So we pray right now. We claim the victory. We claim the victory. Jesus died 2,000 years ago, took the sting out of death. We claim the victory today. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen.
Let the church say,
Amen.
Amen. Well, Father, we come before you today with thanksgiving in our hearts now. Reaching time, your people have come through a myriad of experiences this past week, some highs, some lows, some up, some down, some sunshine, some rain, and yet we have made our way to the house of God, this sacred place, one more time, in order to hear a word from you. So now, God, we pray that you would speak from on high, that your people will be blessed and you will be glorified, and Satan himself will be terrified as we gather to celebrate the isness of Christ. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want you to turn with me once again to our text that was read this morning. And I want to read verses 19 and 20 and shine the sermonic spotlight thereon. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit."
Right.
"Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. I want to preach today from the subject, the Great Commission, living it out.
All right. Yes, sir.
The Great Commission, living it out. In today's scripture lesson, Matthew informs us that Jesus met with his disciples prior to his return to heaven, and he gave them what has been called, come to be known as, the Great Commission. As I sat here this morning, my mind went back. Deacon Wilson, Pastor Stevens, Sister Stevens, Deacon Flowers, others of you who have military experiences, my mind went back to some of our wonderful commanders who were changing assignments. They were moving on, going to another post, another base. And they had what was called their swan song. That is, when all the troops that they had commanded so faithfully, so loyally, the troops that loved them and respected them, stood there at attention. Many of them with tears in their eyes, hating to see their beloved commander go. And so the commander stood there, as the troops stood at attention, or parade rest, as the commander desired, and the commander just shared with them. He gave them words of encouragement, words of wisdom. That's kind of the picture here with Jesus. He has been with his disciples for 3 years. They have come through tumultuous times. They had just experienced recently the atrocities of a mob trial, mixed up trial. They had watched him. They knew of his suffering and bleeding and dying on the cross. Peter had denied him. Judas had betrayed him. His mother Mary had watched him as they crucified him, as they killed her son. As he suffered and bled and died on the cross, they had come through all of that. They had scattered. Some of them were afraid. Two of them were heading up on the Emmaus Road trying to get out of town. Others were hiding in Jerusalem. And then they get the word that he is alive. And so now he's there, standing before them. He's preparing to go back to heaven to be with God. And he gives them, if you will, these last words. He's kind of summarizing everything. He's giving them this charge, this commandment. He's giving them this great commission. A commission is a task, a charge, or an assignment. That's what Jesus is doing. The disciples didn't have to create a job description. Jesus gave it to them. He told them what he wanted to do. All they needed to do was to be obedient to what he said. Now, notice what Jesus gave his disciples, that they was not a great option. It was not a great suggestion. It was not even a great proposal. Rather, what Jesus gave his disciples that day was a great commission, a set of marching orders, which they were to faithfully carry out on his behalf. You remember Moses, you've been reading to your plenty of Bibles right, now. Right. Moses went up on the mountain to receive from God the Ten Commandments. When he came down from the mountain, he came down with the Ten Commandments. He didn't come down with ten suggestions. I mean, ten options.
Right.
You know, if you want to do these things. He didn't come down with just ten suggestions that we're going to sit down now, we're going to vote on this, and we're going to decide whether or not we want to fall. Okay, I like option one, two, to three. But I don't like option four, I like five, but I don't like six, I like seven, but I don't like eight and nine, so the majority rule. Lord speaks directly to the leader, and the leader speaks to the people. Yeah, it's not optional. It's what God says. Read your Bible. You'll understand. And so it was. Jesus gave them these marching orders. Now, throughout the ages, countless believers in Jesus Christ have faithfully carried out this great commission. We are carrying it out right now. We're about to build our fund our sixth well at the end of the year, the Lord's will, in Africa, Uganda. $10,000 apiece. We're about to embark on spending $60,000 to do what Jesus told us to do. He said, go. That's get right. The word. Go. That's go right. And make disciples. Go and tell them. So that's what we're doing. Mission work is taking place in Haiti. It's taking place in Africa. It's taking place in Asia. It's taking place all around the world. Faithful disciples have been doing what Jesus called us to do. You look at our mission statement of our church, which is to know Jesus Christ and to make him known through evangelism, discipleship, and mission. That's right out of the Bible, Lord. We didn't have to dream that up.
Amen.
We put that on our bus. We didn't have to make that up. We know what Jesus told us to do, and we are participating in carrying out the Great Commission. Well, the Great Commission, some things I like about it, it was clear.
That's right. Yeah.
I like that. It was clear. There was no ambiguity about it. The disciples didn't have to go figure it out. This wasn't rocket science. They knew exactly what Jesus said. He said to them in Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. What hard about that? Jesus said, I got it. Now, we need to understand that now, y'all, because we're going through some tumultuous times in this country. We need to understand that all power has been given unto God, not folks in the White House, the State House, the State Capitol. They think they're God has all power. If anybody ought to understand that, the church ought to understand that. So we have to be worrying so much about people and what they say and what they do. All we need to know is that God has given all power. Discouragement is for people that don't know God. And if you get discouraged, just remind yourself what Jesus said. All power. You serve a God who has all power. Power over your sickness. Power over your issues at work. Michael's moves, his twitching and shaking and moving. But Micah had a song. He said, now, look over your shoulder. I'll be there. I'll be there to protect you.
Yes.
Love and respect. Just look over your shoulder, girl, and I'll be there. But the reality is, if you look over your shoulder, Michael will not be there. I want to tell you something. Jesus said, Lord, I'm with you always. I'll be there. And then you know that he'll be there. He'll be there in the midnight hour. He'll be there in the courtroom. He'll be there in the chapel. He'll be there. He's there. I tried.
That's right.
Lying down in the bed at night, thinking and praying, I tried him.
Yeah.
I stand as a testimony to tell you that he is always there.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, he says, Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So the Great Commission was clear. But not only was it clear, the Great Commission was challenging. It was challenging. You see, Jesus was calling upon his disciples, his followers, to carry the message, to carry the mandate, to carry the mantle. He's about to go back to heaven. And so he's like going to, he's giving them the mantle. He's saying, this is what you need to be about. But I need to let you know it's challenging. How many of you know sometimes what God calls you to do is challenging? How many of you know sometimes that your mission is challenging? How many of you know sometimes that if it's even worth doing or being in, it's going to be a challenge? So here's the challenge for them. The disciples were in an environment that was extremely hateful and hostile towards the holy name of Jesus. I mean, people literally hated that name. The chief priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, Caesar, Pilate, and every other misguided, misinformed, mistaken adversary of Jesus would react hatefully and hostily towards anyone remotely identified with Jesus. They weren't playing, y'all. They weren't playing. They had already killed him. They weren't playing. It was hot in and around Jerusalem. So Jesus knew that this mission would be a challenge. Well, not only was the Great Commission clear and challenging, it was also a choice. How many of you know that Jesus won't force you to do anything? He ain't going to force you.
That's right.
It's about your choice.
That's right.
To follow him.
Yeah.
And churches ought not be in the business of trying to force folk
Amen.
To follow Jesus.
That's right.
We're not in the business of trying to trick folks into following Jesus. If you get to follow Jesus, we got to trick you. No, that ain't what we're about.
That's right.
You know, get you follow Jesus, we got to treat you. We got to pass out stuff. You know, hats and cups and peanuts and popcorn. And all that trying to get stuck. No. It's about a choice. It's
right.
Your choice. My choice. I came to Jesus as I was. It was my choice. Jesus did not force people to do his will. Now, he may set up some scenario in your life or allow some stuff to go in your life that will help you convince you that's in your best interest. Can I get a witness of that? Has Jesus ever done some stuff in your life to help you understand that it's in your best interest to follow him?
Yes, sir.
Has he ever allowed some hardships to come? Has he ever taken you some, showed you some stuff to let you know that you're on the wrong road? It's in your best interest to get it right before it's too late? And he will do that, but he ain't gonna force you.
That's right.
Being Paul on the Damascus Road, God wasn't forcing him.
I'm just showing him, buddy, if you don't get this stuff straight, you head down the wrong road, and it ain't going to be true.
That's right.
Amen.
So great commission was a choice. You know, the disciples had to choose whether or not they would live out the great commission, do what Jesus told them to do, or whether they would choose to play it safe by putting the message mandate of Jesus behind them. They had a choice. They could have followed him, or they could have said, you know what? I'm going to put this stuff behind me. You know, they could have put the past 3 years behind. They spent with Jesus. They had listened to him preach. They had watched him heal the sick, raise the dead. They saw how he loved on the least, the lonely, and the lost. So they had a choice to make. Now, they had a choice to make. They could either live out the Great Commission, or they could try to get back to life as they once knew. I don't know why this popped in my mind, but it just did. I thought about Gladys Knight. Now, some of the young people may not know who Gladys Knight is. So, I mean, she's a popular singer,
right?
You know, but she's thinking about that midnight train to Georgia. Oh boy, L.A. was too much.
Come on,
now. So he sold his old car. He headed back to where he was most familiar with. And then Gladys said, I got to go. I got to go. I'll be with him on that midnight train to Georgia. Well, the disciples had to make a choice. Either they could go with the Great Commission, or they could catch the midnight train back to Jerusalem. That was safe and secure. And when they felt like this,
preach, Pastor.
Well, we know from biblical history that disciples were faithful followers of Jesus. And after Jesus rose from the dead, the Great Commission became their lifelong priority.
Yes.
Every engagement, every ministry pursuit, every endeavor was directly to carry out the Great Commission. That's where it ought to be for us, y'all. Everything we do in the church ought to be in direct relationship to carrying out the Great Commission. Everything we do in our homes ought to be in direct relationship to carrying out the Great Commission.
Amen.
Well, one of the dangers that coincides with the passing of years is the tendency to slide off course. How many of y'all know that?
Amen.
One of the dangers of the passing of years is the tendency to slide off course. You know, Big Mama and them told us what to do, how to do it, told us how to live, got all the little boys together, and told us that, listen, we don't want you going out there getting nobody in the family way. In the family way.
Yes, sir.
Some of y'all explained to, you know, and they got the little girls and they told them the same thing. Gave them good advice, good counsel, because they had been there. And sometimes they would say, I don't want you to make the same mistake that I made. So I'm telling you this, it's hard teaching, but I want you to stay with it. But as time went on,
yes, sir.
Some of us with our hard head, with our bad self, slipped off track. We found out the hard way what Big Mama, what Aunt Matt and all of them were talking about. Well, that's one of the issues with the passing of time. Sometimes we just think we outgrow stuff. We just outgrow everything. We should slip off course.
Mm-hmm.
Personal opinions, I'm talking about the church now, personal opinions began to replace the biblical text with time. That's what has happened. You look around, and some of this stuff you see ain't got nothing to do with what Jesus said that his church ought to be about. Modern, postmodern thinking convinces people that their ideas, their way, are better than God's ideas and better than God's way. That's what postmodern thinking will do. In other words, sometimes folk begin to think, like E.F. Hutton, you got a better idea than God. I want to tell you, there's no better idea than God. Here's another one for you. New Age philosophy makes that which is popular and faddish more appealing than that which is based upon Scripture. Let me say that again.
All right.
New Age philosophy,
yes, sir,
has a way of convincing people, making that which is faddish and popular more appealing than that which is based upon Scripture. Those people want to go, what's fashion? What's the new fashion thing? You know, in the church, what's the new catchphrase?
Right.
I remember some years ago, you know, the new catchphrase for preachers was this: look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Neighbor, say that, neighbor. I don't know what you come to do. I come to praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Now you just wasted 3 or 4 seconds bothering people. I want you to be touching me and looking at me. I might be in the spirit. I'm trying to hear what the Holy Ghost got to say to me. I don't want to focus on you. I want you telling me. I want to focus. I might be in the spirit. Don't touch me.
Amen.
I want somebody to jump off on me.
Yes, sir.
Spiritual moment. You know what a spiritual moment is? Spiritual moment, you might just be sitting there crying.
Come on.
You might be sitting there communing with God.
Yes.
And folk touching you talking about, get up out of your seat. But now the Spirit is moving me to meditate, engage with Him. You just messed up my worship.
Yeah.
I want to encourage you, let people worship. God is calling them to worship. Don't interrupt people with what your idea of what they ought to be doing.
That's right.
Let people worship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes that New Age philosophy, popular fetish stuff, replaces what's Scripture. Therefore, it's always good to go back to the old landmark. The old landmark of Scripture. And refresh ourselves with what it means to live out, flesh out, carry out the Great Commission.
Amen.
Because in so doing, we keep in line, we keep in step, we keep in tune with the priorities of Jesus and not the priorities of folk.
Amen.
Let me say that again. When you are in line, when you are in step, when you are in tune, when you know the priorities of Jesus, you will carry them out instead of being influenced by the agendas and the priorities of people.
Y'all
remember Jim Jones, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Man, this guy had his own agenda. He had his own priority. He was trying to build his own kingdom, which he did. He took hundreds of people over to Gehenna and killed them, had them commit suicide. David Koresh did the same thing. Some of this nonsense y'all see with tent meetings and all this false healing and nonsense. Stay in line with the word.
That's right.
Can I tell you something? If folk got so much Holy Ghost healing power, let them go to Lakeland region. If you can grow leg, go out to the VA hospital. There are a lot of soldiers who serve honorably, had their legs blown off. If you can grow legs, go out there. They're plentiful. I don't want y'all to be misled by hocus pocus nonsense. That's all it is.
Yes,
just read the word, stay in line with the word, you'll know what Jesus tells you to do.
Amen.
So let's look briefly now at today's text, scripture verses, and let's see what what living the Great Commission is all about. First, living the Great Commission is all about telling. That means it's about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with everybody else. That's what Jesus said, right? He said, go, make it. That's about telling people who Jesus is in hopes of that they will come to know Jesus for themselves. The first step in living the Great Commission is sharing the good news about Jesus Christ with people. Hopes that they will come to know him too. You see, we ought to tell people about Jesus with our lips and with our lives.
That's right. Right. Right.
We ought to tell them what it means to be a follower of Jesus. A lot of people don't know. We ought to speak about his love. How many people this week have you told about Jesus' love? How many people have you said, I know you're going through some stuff right now, but I want you to know that Jesus loves you.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're feeling down, you're feeling rejected, you're feeling like nobody, but I just want to tell you that Jesus Christ loves you. We ought to tell people about the grace.
Yeah.
We ought to tell people that Jesus is a gracious God. We ought to tell them about his goodness. We ought to tell them about his mercy. Every time we have an opportunity, we ought to tell people about how Jesus forgives sins and start with yourself. Tell them how he forgave a wretched sinner like me. Tell them how he forgives and gives people a new lease on life. We're going to tell it like the Samaritan woman told. Oh boy, this woman had a shady past. Yeah. Sister had five husbands. Yeah, and the man she was shacking with across the track, he didn't even belong to her. She was up in there with him. But she met Jesus. The giver of salvation, Jesus, who loved her in spite of her past. Jesus. Who had compassion upon her in spite of the fact that she was all up in the room with a joker that wasn't even her. And when she got done, when Jesus got done with her, she received him, and the sister went back to Samaria and told everybody. Come see a man who has told me all I have ever done. I messed up. He told me about it. I blew it. He told me about it. But at the same time, he loved me. He saved me. And now I'm here to tell you. We ought to tell them. We ought to tell them. The man who was born blind. In John chapter 9.
Mm-hmm.
I told y'all some months ago, I went to Brother Armstrong, my close friend, dear friend, prayer brother. I said, Brother Armstrong, help me to understand some of the stuff that this man was going through. The man had been born blind. He was living in a world of darkness. Jesus healed the man. The Pharisees jumped on Jesus' case and called him a sinner. They went and got the man and said, look at him. I don't care nothing about you got your sight. I don't care nothing about you healing. I want you to praise God because this man is a sinner. You know that man testified. He said, you know what? Whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. But one thing I know, tell me something. Y'all couldn't do a thing about it. I was glad. Y'all didn't care nothing about it. I was glad. But now I see. That's what I want to tell you about Jesus. He's a way maker. Promise keeper. Right in the garden. That's who he is. Our God. Awesome God. Mighty God. Tell our own testimony. All of us got stories. If I heard some of y'all's stories, that y'all gonna blow me away. I'm like, what? I heard a story about a sister in this church. She come about her own admission. I heard it, but then she told me about it. I want to know for myself. But this sister was rough. And the story goes that if you bothered her back in the day, she would come up in your, she would go to your house and do you. I'm like, what? That's you? She got a Bible and prayer meeting and Bible study. I'm just telling you, that's what God will do.
Tithes
and offerings. That's what I read now. I said, if the people are not tithing into the church, if not giving offerings, it's indicative. I told them this. Sister Pickett, I don't know if you were in that meeting or not, but I told them this. I said, if they're not doing those two things, it's indicative of a couple problems. One, they don't trust leadership.
All right.
And two, they have not bought into the mission.
All right.
Somebody lacked me. I knew my priorities were all out of line, so I just withdrew and said, you know what? This ain't me.
That's right.
I mean, have you read one passage in scripture where Jesus and the disciples, Jesus said, okay, guys, you know, we got to go over here and feed the folks. So, you know, this is what I want you to do. I want you to come up with a great fundraiser. You raise the money. Think about Jesus and his disciples on the side of the road selling not chicken, lamb dinner. Light bill got to be paid. We need to sell some lamb dinner. We need a new accident. We need to sell some lamb dinner. Okay, you can have an ox meal if you want that. Okay, no. But the point is, y'all, Jesus has set the priority. His way is always right. He said, go tell the people about me. Tell the people, tell the rich, tell the poor, tell the uneducated, tell the educated, tell everyone that about the Savior who suffered and bled and died on the cross to save them from sin or crucified, dead and buried. Here's the challenge for you. How many people did you tell about Jesus last week? But here's the good news. If you didn't tell it last week, you got a whole nother week ahead of you. Find somebody to tell somebody about Jesus. Tell your Facebook friends and foes about you. Tweet about Jesus. Email about Jesus. I mean, Sister Pickett and I all up in the tax office with our Jesus t-shirts on. You want to talk about the Lord? Come on, we ready. I'm going to tell you something. And let me tell you, telling people about Jesus always means you got to have your Bible out, preaching to folks. Just say something like, you know, Jesus loves you. Have a God-filled day. Second, living the Great Commission is about teaching. Look at verse 20. It's all in the Bible, y'all. Jesus says, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded. That's priority two. First, you tell them. Then when you tell them, you teach them. Y'all see it in the text? I mean, that's the commandment. He's standing up. He's telling the truth. This is what you need to do. This is your mission. This is priority one. You do a lot of other stuff, but if you ain't doing this, you ain't pleasing me. So if we ain't telling people about Jesus, if we're not teaching people about Jesus, we're not pleasing him. We might be raising money. We might be having a great pastor's anniversary. We might be doing all kinds of things, but that's not pleasing Jesus. That's not his top priority. So the church, individually and collectively, is charged by Jesus with the responsibility of teaching people the word of God. Y'all, that's our priority. Teaching people the word of God. Once people receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, once they are baptized, which is an outward sign of an inward change, then we are to teach them not our philosophy, not from our feelings and our emotions, not from what some library book said, but we are to teach them the Bible because we want to raise biblical literacy.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now, ain't nothing like pastoring a church where the biblical literacy is up.
Right.
Because then people know what God expects of them.
Yeah.
People know that when they obey God, they get blessed. When they disobey God, they get cursed. It's plain and simple. You've been reading that in the Bible all last week.
Yeah.
So therefore, you have all kind of arguments and fight. You know, pastor fighting, deacon fight. You know, in fact, God is blessed. I've been here almost 24 years. Not one fight, not one negative word, not one argument with one deacon in this church. In fact, the chairman of the deacon is one of my best friends. Deacon Thomas, all the rest of y'all, Browning, Thomas, Bell, Williams, Small, Flowers here today. Oh, friends, not one harsh word. That happens, Deacon Showers right here. You know, so when the people read the Bible, you learn how to treat each other. You learn how to do business God's way. And then you learn that if you don't do God's way, There are severe consequences. It's real, y'all. You see, the reason we encourage every member of our Good Hope Mission Baptist Church to read through the one-year Bible and participate in a small group is because of the Great Commission. It's about teaching.
Amen.
The reason we encourage participation in our early morning devotional time is because of the Great Commission. It's about teaching. Every weekday morning, 5:45, 6:15, in there we're going to get a word from Scripture. We're going to get prayer. That's the Great Commission. The reason we emphasize intercessory prayer, that's the Great Commission. Sunday school and all teaching ministries are opportunities we want to give people to carry out the Great Commandment. We want to teach. That's what we're about. Can I tell you something now? Good Hope Mission Baptist Church is not a program-oriented church. We are teaching Christocentric, Christ-centered church. Teaching the Word of God is our top priority. Now, I said that straight when I first came here. I want y'all to know my priority is. We ain't have no pastor's anniversary, not for me. Now, I ain't condemning what my brothers do, because, I mean, that's their business. But for me, I don't want to establish in the minds of the people that their top priority is to worship me. I want to establish top priority is to teach the Word of God. That's what we're all about. Take the money you would have given me, buy yourself a Bible, and read it. Where I attended seminary, and he had his degree in education. He loved Christian education. He told us in class, he said, now I'm going to tell y'all something. Christian education is the crux of all that y'all do. It undergirds everything in the church. You see, Christian education undergirds all that we do. Churches, I'm going to tell you, churches with strong Christian education ministry will be strong churches.
Amen.
If the people know what God expects of them,
right,
they're going to be a stronger church.
Yeah.
If people don't know what God says, it's going to be helter-skelter. Everybody going to be running around, grabbing a microphone, doing whatever they want to do. There'll be no order at all.
That's right.
Yeah. You read the Bible, you find that God is a God of order.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, God, if you put it in humanistic terms, God is a systematic thing.
Yeah.
There's a process. You see, Christian education, strong churches, church of Christian education will be strong churches. Churches that navigate well through the challenges and changes of life. Strong churches that stand firm through the storms of life. Churches that have strong Christian education ministry will be churches that will not fall victim to the tricks and the trains, the schemes and the scams, the plots and the plans and the ploy of our old ancient foe, the devil. Why? Because we see him.
Amen.
We know him. How do we see him? Through the pages of Scripture. God reveals to us how to deal with the devil.
Some folk want to deal with the devil toe to toe. You know, you want to talk about me? Come on. Talk about you. You know, you want to fight me? Here I am. You know, I ain't running. I ain't back. You see me right here.
Yeah. But when you read the page of a holy writ, one of the best ways you will fight and gain victory over the devil is in prayer.
That's
right. Yeah. It's in prayer. What we be doing? You spend time in prayer with God, you will defeat that joker every time. You don't need to be yelling and screaming and on Facebook and all that. You just talk to God about it.
That's right.
That's what I do. That's why I argue with people. Can't nobody in the church say, Pastor, I would mean, Pastor curse me, I'll pastor with disrespecting me. No, I'm telling you right now, I'm praying for you. That's the reason why stuff is happening the way it's happening. So stone churches, all right, third and finally, living the Great Commission is about trusting. It's about trusting. Notice verse 20b where Jesus declared, and Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Notice the verbal strategy of Jesus as he skillfully as he skillfully lays out the Great Commission between two bookends. Listen carefully. Prior to giving the Great Commission, Jesus said to his followers, "You can trust me because I have all power." That's one bookend. That's what he said. "You can trust me because I have all power." Then at the conclusion, Jesus says, "You can trust me because I'm ever present. Lo, I am with you. Always." You see that bookend? You can trust me, I'm all powerful. You can trust me, I'm ever present. You can trust me when you get in a jam at work because I'm all powerful. You can trust me because I'm ever present. You can trust me when you're down because I'm all powerful. I can lift you up. You can trust me because I will never leave you alone. Halfway you go, God is always with you.
Amen.
Then at the conclusion, Jesus says, "You can trust me because I'm ever present." The ever presentness of Jesus was verified when he said these words, "Lo, I am with you always."
That's right.
Even to the end of the earth, age. That means when we go, when we preach, when we teach, when we baptize, when we testify, when we support missions locally and globally, when we walk the walk and talk the talk, Jesus says, "I will be with you."
That's right.
That's right.
So be sure there will be mountains to climb.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
There will be valleys to scale. There will be rivers to cross.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Certainly in our lives, there will be high tide and low tide.
Yes,
there will be sunshine and rain.
That's right.
But through it all, remember Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you." Oh, man. Even to the end of the age. So don't you give up. Never give up. Never give out. Never give in. Because Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always. Even to the end of the earth." Dark clouds of doubt. Dark clouds of depression. Dark clouds of disillusionment may rise in strong winds of adversity, strong winds of aggravation, strong winds of assault may blow. But remember, Jesus said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." But one more thing I want to tell you before I get out of your way. There's one more thing in the text. Jesus used the word, "Amen."
Amen.
Amen. Amen means so be it.
That's right.
Amen means you can count on it.
Yeah.
Amen means you can count on Jesus to do all that he promises you do. Amen means, y'all, that you're going to make it.
Amen.
Amen means that God is going to turn the thing around.
Yeah.
Amen means that God is going to bring you through. How many amen folks we got in the building today? Keep you from falling. And to present you fathers before the presence with exceedingly great joy.
Yeah.
To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, be majesty, be dominion, be power, for now and forevermore. Let the church say,
amen.
Father, today we want to thank you for the Great Commission. Thank you, God. We know that we are not worthy, any of us, to participate. But because of your grace and your mercy, you have saved us, you have redeemed us, you have given us a place in your plan. And God, today we say thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. Thank you, God, for blessing us. Thank you, God, for keeping us. Even on our worst days, you have been right there, blessing us, holding us, keeping us. Thank you, Jesus. Now, God, today, we'll preach your word. We pray if there's some here today who are not yet participants in the Great Commission. they don't know you as Lord and Savior, we pray, God, that they will come today. Maybe they're here in this congregation, man, woman, boy, girl. Maybe they're listening to us on Facebook or on the phone, God, but we've done what you told us to do. You told us to tell them, and we told them. God, we pray that they're unsaved, and outside of union with your church. Those who are looking for a church, a Bible believing, teaching, preaching church, not a perfect church, but a church that strives to do your will. May the day be the day. Their commitment and energy. They're not saved. You're not saved today. You can simply say something like this to the Lord, Father, I'm a sinner. I've blown a big time. Some sin like the Samaritan woman. Some sin like the woman caught in adultery. Some sin like Zacchaeus, the wicked tax collector. Some sin like the thief on the cross that was with you in paradise and you gave them all. You might say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Today I'm repenting of my sin. I'm asking you, Jesus, come into my life and save me. God, you saved Rahab. Prostitute. God, you saved all the wicked that came to you. God, you even saved this pastor. God, thank you. You may pray, Lord Jesus, come into my life and save me. I'm yours. No more running. No more doing life my way. I'm giving it all over to you. In Jesus' name. If that's you today, welcome to the family of God. We invite you to come out. Make a public profession of faith, and then today, if you're here, you're looking for a church home. Spirit of God is directing me to join us here at the Covenant Missionary Baptist Church. We stand with outstretched arms to welcome you in as members of this God's church. You may come at this time.
You're gonna have to know. Robert DeVere.
Oh, okay. Come on. What? Listen here. I think you're on time.